Lesson comes to us from the book of Isaiah, found on page 1124. Isaiah chapter 42, the first 9 verses. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created heaven and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who are in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See the former things that I have taken, that have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. The second reading is from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. This is about the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came forth from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then we continue with the book of Acts. Chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men for every nation who they fear and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now we'll turn the pulpit over to Pastor Joe for our message and wisdom for the day.
Thanks, Jim. You can sit down now, Jim.
I probably need to get some of this over. You better get rid of it.
What I do. So we start in prayer. Gracious Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to be here, to be guided by you, to worship you. We praise you this morning and ask that you'd shine a little light on us and help us in understanding your word and your will for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I feel like this poking me in the face, Ron. Need to stand a little taller. So today we celebrate actually the baptism of the Lord. That's what the official title of this Sunday was supposed to be. If you look in most of the circles of religion, circles anymore. And as I thought about that, I got to thinking about why was Jesus baptized? I mean, didn't need to, did he? Or did he? Why do we baptize people? Do you know? I don't see a lot of hands being raised. Well, we need to talk about that today a little bit. So I'm going to start with a little story I found I'd like to share with you. It's about a boy who had questions about baptism. So at 10 years of age, Jeremy suddenly became more curious about baptism. Since his infant cousin Jason was being baptized at the worship service that morning. So Jeremy's inquisitive eyes and mind focused today on things that had in the past had passed him by without much notice. The baptismal font in this contemporary church building had a dove suspended above it, held in place by wires that could not be seen from farther away than a few feet. So was that bird always there, he wondered? Or did they just put it there for today? Well, and the worship bulletin for the Sunday also had a dove on the front cover, and he had the urge to ask his dad about the bird because he didn't really know if it was a dove or a pigeon or what. But he knew from experience it would be better to wait and ask that question on the way home. So as for now, he and his whole family joined his uncle and his aunt at the baptismal font, and the pastor began by saying, "In Christian love, you have presented Jason for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring him to the services of God's house." Well, Jeremy heard those words being spoken by the pastor, but he only half listened. He kept glancing at the dove hanging over his head, and he would definitely have to ask about that bird. "Pour out your Holy Spirit so that Jason, who is here baptized, may be given new life," the pastor continued. Well, after worship in the car, Jeremy said, "I'm hungry. When are we going to eat?" Only his father replied, "We're going to your uncle's and your aunt's house for a baptismal dinner. But it shouldn't be too long." He said, "Why are we baptized?" Jeremy asked. Well, his father was glad he had taught Sunday school for the past 5 years and that some of the lessons he dwelt on was baptism. So as best he could, he tried to explain about forgiveness of sins, God's acceptance of us into his family through baptism. But Jeremy wasn't through with the questioning. The pastor said in his sermon that Jesus was baptized. Did he have to have his sins forgiven or what? Oh, Lordy, Dad thought. But he struggled with an answer, and he hoped was at least halfway correct. No, Jesus didn't have to have any sins to forgive, but he was baptized kind of as a sign that that God had a special task for him to do. So what's that bird hanging above that baptism thing? Jeremy asked. Well, I can deal with this, Dad thought to himself. With some relief, he said, that bird is supposed to be a dove, and it reminds us of God's Spirit coming to us, as it did to Jesus in baptism. Also, it reminds us that God was pleased with his son, Jesus. Oh, Jeremy replied nonchalantly, I wonder what we're having for dinner. I mean, who here doesn't really have the same questions that theologians and Christians have been asking for centuries? Why, if Jesus was a sinless son of God, as we claim, then why did he have to submit to John's baptism? Why do we baptize? Why do we use a dove? You know, you know why? Or do we just accept it? And let's move on to the next thing.
Whatever pops into our head, we just let it go at that. I think too many times we do, don't we? We don't always ask the questions and wonder enough to look, to seek through it and find out about it. I mean, some commentators, when I first started looking into this, some commentators had written years ago, says, well, Jesus did it just because his mother wanted him to. I don't believe that. And I'm certain most of you don't. So when we read our Old Testament reading in from Isaiah 42, 1, we read this, he said, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will baptize. He will bring justice to the nations. Think about that. Can you see when Jesus was baptized by John, part of the answer to the question why is that God was fulfilling prophecy. Jesus had to do it to fulfill all prophecies. Matthew recorded it, how that prophecy was fulfilled here. He said, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him, lighting on him. I was kind of curious. I'm thinking, what did he actually mean by lighting on him? So I did a little further study. And in any of you could find this. So, and Luke says, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. Or you can see in John 1:32, he said, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove, and it remained on him. So what really happened at this baptism? Did the heavens open up and a glorified angelic being dressed to send him in, or did a rainbow surround him, or did a powerful eagle or a phoenix or a birch on his shoulders? No, instead, the Spirit of God descends like a dove. Well, I didn't realize this either. So I got looking about doves. So actually, a dove, there's no species really as doves. They're merely white pigeons. You know, the white pigeons that you see everywhere, the pigeons, they're responsible for the excrement on the park benches or on your cars or on your side windows. Bonnie had just got a car washed. Pulls out of the car wash and guess what? All on the window side. But you know what? Water washes all that away. And as I got thinking about doves, I'm thinking, why would God decide to send a dove? Why not an eagle or something? Majestic. Instead, he sends this bird that poops on everything. It's his way of telling us that we're accepted no matter who we are, no matter how unworthy we are, no matter how sinful we are. The sign of the dove tells us that God is pure and he loves us. And no matter who we are, we can come to him. So when I thought about this and I got thinking about it, and more I think about this dove, I got thinking and I got singing to myself, on the wings of a snow white dove. Who knows that song? Everybody here has heard that song, right? Bob Ferguson wrote that years ago. I think 1958 or something like that. who did that? Fern, can't remember the guy who sung it and made it famous. But on the wings of a dove, snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above. That's what the dove is. It's a sign from above. The Spirit came down on the wings of a dove. Peter's testimony sums it up. It says, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So we know that Jesus, he was anointed in the form of the dove. So no matter how unworthy we are, how sinful we are, we can come to him. And I got thinking about this, and I thought I better tell one more story on this. I want you to think about it this way. So this was, I read about a United Methodist preacher who had a confirmation class, and they decided they wanted to be baptized by immersion. It was one of those grand events with almost the whole congregation there at the local river. Parents were in tears. Grandparents stood by, proud and crying too, as these young people made their momentous decision in their lives. Other youths stood in awe and wonder and filled with curiosity, because most of them had never witnessed a baptism by immersion. So all of this wonderful emotion was short-circuited when, during the very first baptism, the preacher was heard to say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son, and holy moly, I forgot to take off my watch. It wasn't me this time. But he got distracted, you know, and we all get distracted. I mean, we get distracted when we get to question something instead of going after it and looking it up and searching his word. We let it go and we just move on to the next thing, don't we? When all the answers are really available to us here, right here, in his word. If we truly love him as he loved us, we will search them out, won't we? So last week, what I talk about, who remembers? We talked about being on the run. Do you remember? Things don't always work out the way we think they should, do they? So imagine if you were in the crowd that day when Jesus came. And all of a sudden, you're there, you're with the crowd, and John, he didn't really want to baptize Jesus down, did he? He says, you shouldn't come to me, I should go to you. But Jesus said, no, we have to do this, right? We have to do this so that all righteousness may be fulfilled. We have to make sure that we do the right things, don't we? That's what it's all about. Baptism actually tells us whose we are. And it answers the questions of who we truly are. That's what our baptism is all about, when we accept it. So imagine you're in the crowd that day, and I'm certain they weren't prepared for what was about to happen. Can you imagine standing there when Jesus came? He comes up out of the water, the skies open up, and the light must have shined through like unbelievable. All of a sudden, here comes this dove down right through the middle of it. Can you imagine being there? And it comes down, and it lands on Jesus' shoulder. Whether Jesus had it glow or not, I don't know. But I could imagine. So all this, you're watching this, standing in this dirty Jordan River, all this light and this dove comes down, and what happens? All of a sudden there's a booming voice. God said, this is my son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased. What would you think? What do you think happened to the crowd that day? You think they wanted to do nothing but to bow down and to worship? God made an impression on each and every one of us. He sent his son into the world, and he wanted to make sure that we knew. So you know, Jesus knew who he was before he got here. Before he went to be baptized, Jesus knew who he was. And as I thought more about that, I thought how God claimed Jesus by the baptism of the waters. What is the most important thing for us to remember? Jesus was baptized by John first and foremost to align himself with us. I mean, how could Jesus ask us to do something that he wouldn't do? Doesn't it tell us that's what he wants us to do? Who he wants us to be? How we are to submit ourselves? Because Jesus did it. He didn't need to. But we needed to. So he did it to fulfill prophecy. He did it to align himself with us. And I also think that God did it so that we may be anointed to him. So this morning, though, before you go out of here, and before you check your watch and the sermon was too long, or your belly starts grumbling, you need to change your focus. Follow the example of Jesus. Know that God's baptism anointed us. And as Acts told us, and we read, Peter said in his testimony, he said, God anointed us with the Holy Spirit and power, and we are to be doing good and helping all who are under the power of the devil, because God is with us. He went on to say, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. So all the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. I mean, that's why we celebrate. That's why we remember the baptism of our Lord. That's why we need to remember our baptisms. So maybe as you drive home today, by the time when you go to lunch or you go to breakfast or whatever you do next, maybe you'll be singing those words and remembering, on the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen. Amen. Amen.